Next item on the agenda is number 14 concerning limited entry. The gillnet fishery is authorized by 28.22 of 4.1. Mr. Grist.
Well, I'll do this blind because it seems that four. Oh, over here it's here. Everything got shut down. Okay, the next two items are items that we brought forth the commission last month as recommendations from the gillnet subcommittee. Since that time, we've been able to take both the items through the FinFish Management Advisory Committee and get some comments from them also. The first item is the gillnet fishery limited entry. As you'll remember, when we discussed this last month, one of the issues that came up like almost exactly a year ago now on this issue was concerns about increases in gillnet license sales with out-of-state harvesters who have Virginia waterman cards, and the concern there being that they're moving more product out of the state was one of the concerns, spiny dogfish in particular, and as many of our quotas and such are set at state levels, the concern there was other states are actually gaining landings from Virginia, and so that was one item. But just also just Virginians, the issue with Virginian gillnetters and out-of-state gillnetters and some competition going on there also. So the gillnet committee was formed, met up over the summer, and came up with a series of recommendations. So on the gillnets, and this is going to involve regulation 4BAC 201190-10, we have added in some categories, a new Class A and Class B gillnet category. In the regulation itself, when we talk about gillnets, we're only talking about those gillnets that are up to 600 feet or all gillnets that are 600 feet up to 1,200 feet that do not include the state gillnets. We're talking basically movable gillnets. And as we go through this, there were qualifiers involved about harvests and licensing time periods. Helpers who had valid gillnet licenses at the time of harvest will assume the same harvest status as those licensed gillnet harvesters that documented them as help on their mandatory harvest report forms. So we actually went back and gave them equal credit. The first recommendation was for a what's known as the Class A gillnet permit. This is a permit that is transferable only between Virginia residents. Originally, when we brought this forth, gillnet purchase, it had a provision in there about gillnet purchases. It would limit it to only 10 gillnet purchases of those that are no longer than 1,200 feet. That was original. Now, since we've gone to the FMAC with this provision, we've had an alternative proposed. Instead of limiting it to 10 gillnet licenses, the proposal was they could purchase any number of gillnet licenses provided that the maximum footage associated with all that being purchased is no more than 12,000 feet. So if you think of it, that's 10 1,200-foot licenses or 2,600-foot licenses or some combination in between. So it gives gillnetters a little bit more freedom in how they choose their net setups. So that was a recommendation from FMAC. The qualifying information is presented last month. If you had a gillnet license prior to December 31st, 2005, you qualified for this Class A. Or if you documented at least 100 days of gillnet harvest, specific gillnet harvest, in any one year from 06 through 08 you were in, or if you documented more than 60 days of harvest in any 2 years by gillnet between 06 and 08 you were in. And we broke that information down, and this also goes for the Class A non-resident gillnet, which is only transferable between the non-residents. Same criteria. So we broke that down for you just to show you how everyone gets in as a Class A. And the majority of them come in because they had a gillnet license prior to December 31st, 2005, the original control date. 1,404 Virginia residents entered that way and 38 non-residents. For the two other provisions, the one where you either had to have 100 days of harvest in any 1 year or two, or 60 days of harvest in any 2 years from 06 through 08, that one by itself, only two individuals got in, and that was both Virginia residents. We had, though, if you look at both of them, that met both criteria and they got in either way, we had 80 individuals from Virginia get in and another 4 non-residents. So what we come out with is basically 1,486 Virginia residents are in the Class A, 42 non-residents are in the Class A. And we only have a little over 2,700 total harvesters in the commercial fishery. So it's a large, it's over half of the fishery is in the Class A. The Class B is everyone else. So you're still actually in the gillnet fishery. You're not out. You just have some limitations. For those who didn't get the Class A, they end up with a Class B permit. So this is available to anyone, resident or non-resident, who didn't qualify for the A. They are going to be, they original language had them limited to 5 nets in total, no more than 1,200 feet. But another alternative, which was proposed at FMAC, was to limit them to 6,000 feet. So they could have any number that added up to 6,000 feet. We looked at those that are involved in this fishery, and a large majority of those Virginia non-residents in the Class B qualifiers just had no gillnet harvest from 06 through 08. And obviously they didn't have a gillnet permit prior to the control date. Only very few had some harvest, but it wasn't at a very active level as was required for the Class A. We also put in provisions in the draft regulation that you cannot possess both an A and a B, so no way you can double up. And we're still making sure on records, so these should be fairly close to final absolute numbers, but we're still checking a few more records. We did advertise for public comment. To date, we have received no written public comment on this item. And staff's recommendation on this would be adoption of the limited entry provisions for the Virginia gillnet fishery as described in Chapter 4 of VAC 2011-90 to include the FMAC alternatives. So to include the 12,000 feet provision for Class A and the 6,000 feet provision for Class B, and have this become effective on December 1st of 09. That's it.
Yeah, I just have one question to make sure. Of course, we know what the law is as far as maximum length is concerned. This is not going to confuse by coming up with 12,000 feet and this, that, and the other.
The way the licensing system is trying to be set up is to stop them from being able to purchase beyond that with their license to get. And we only have 2 gillnet licenses currently that this can fall under. The up to 600 feet and the up to from 600, above 600 up to 1,200. We're going to figure it at the maximum. There's not going to be a 300 license and a 750 aisle, but it's just those 2. So however combination comes up, the system is supposed to stop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do. If Class B is open access, is there any prohibition that's proposed to have to preclude more than one CFRL holder from having the license on the boat? In other words, could 2 people go out and get these open access permits and essentially stack them on a single boat
and work together?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Cannot do it.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Person.
Right. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Yeah. You can do that. You can agent for somebody also, and that's also still allowed in the gillnet fishery.
Well, I guess that it kind of begs the question of how constraining this is, if at all. It seems to me that you have. You need to have a limited access fishery for the Class A, and you remove Class B open access, that you still might need constraints such that only one Class B license could be used on a single vessel. So that doesn't come to work around to get around the Class A constraint.
No, that's a logical idea right there. It is open on Class B currently.
Further questions? This is a public hearing. I'm sorry, Mr. Lane.
Would the multiple nets totaling 12,000 feet, would that cause law enforcement issues as far as the total length?
Well, if the licensing system works as it is, the individual shouldn't be licensed for more than that. They would have to have the plate for the license and such. So, I mean, that's how law enforcement would work on that item. If they see a net, doesn't have a legal plate with it, then, yeah, that's one they're going to need to check.
Real fast,
Mr. Bowden, and then
I don't know how familiar you are with commercial gill nets, but in the state of Virginia, you have to have an individual license tag affixed to every net. So if law enforcement comes there and there's no license tag on the net, you're already in violation. No matter facts or minimum, you know, even if you only have two licenses and you're entitled to 10. If one of those nets doesn't have a license tag, technically you're already in violation of law regardless of what else. Every license tag has to have your last four digits from your commercial registration painted on them or printed or whatever way you want to affect it, and current year's fishing license.
The only problem you have is sometimes they'll tie one on one and one on the other. We've seen that before. We're not getting there.
I was going to say what Mr. Bowden had said.
Okay. Further comments of the commission? Mr. Smith. Yeah, Joe, will you finish, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Smith.
Slide up the sales, please. With what? This sales.
Oh, sure. There you go.
Ken Smith. Originally, most of the watermen or the ones I had talked to were opposed to this, but with this language of the alternative, we are in favor of it. I think a mile of gill nets pretty, you know, satisfies everybody.
Not everybody.
Well, pretty much. I think it ironed out a lot of wrinkles anyway. I think it's something, even though we have not gone back and voted on it, I think it will pass with.
You got it handled.
There was one thing that with this sale of the Maryland licenses as it was, we're not being reciprocated on that in Maryland. And we were thinking maybe we could do something about that legislatively. I've talked with Jack about it. I've talked with some legislators about it. I think they could do it. Code section 282.227 is the non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to, in General Assembly this year, try to get this language put in that says no commercial fishing license shall be sold to non-residents whose state of residence does not offer for sale the same or similar license to a Virginia resident. We'd hope that the commission will go along with us on that and help us in that.
Well, and not to beg off, but as you well know, in being involved in legislation, all we can do is write legislative advisories, right. And yeah. Then, of course, with the new governor, regardless of what side it is, that's where we get the marching orders. But I'll go out on a limb and say that your proposal certainly sounds very logical.
And Mr. Lane, to help you out on that, the sport fishermen, if that were the case, that's actually going to take gill nets out of the water. And it would also help Virginia watermen, maybe where we can get a little more money for our fish if we don't have a glutted market.
Covered. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How are you?
All right.
Good.
I
state your name for the record, please.
Daryl Hurley.
Hi, Daryl.
I've been crabbing the last 4 or 5 years and purchasing gill nets along, getting a boat, stuff like that set up. And I was wondering if I would still be eligible for the Class A licensing.
I think it would depend upon your history, Jack, or Joe. I'm sorry.
But that's what I'm saying is I don't have much history.
Did you purchase the gill net license prior to December in 2005 and previously?
I might have purchased one or two.
If you purchased even one in 2005 back, you're fine.
Okay. All right.
If you never had land, it didn't make any difference. As long as you have a license by then, you're in fine.
Okay. I mean, I'm just not sure. I mean, I was 15 then. I'm not sure if I even, you know.
If you're not, we're not, because we don't have your license history in front of us, but you may want to go ahead and check.
Can I check that in office? Or?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. Yes, sir. Good. How are you doing today?
My name's Mark Cam.
Hey, Mark.
And I've been disabled for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to have any kind of, you know, I'd like to get my gill net license back. I haven't been able to do anything for the last 10 years, but I'm getting better, and I want to get back into it.
Have you bought a license within, was it last five? Four.
Well, I bought a license and it can't work.
Well, I mean, wait a minute. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you have a gill net license at all prior to 2005?
I think so.
Well, you're in the same situation the other gentleman is. I don't know whether you are or not. If you bought one before 2005, as Mr. Grist said, can you say that again, please, Mr. Grist?
Sure. Prior to December 31, 2005, if you held a Gillnet license for you, it was $600 to $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the system for a Class A.
So you need to go and
check. In our records, yeah. You're there. Mm-hmm. We'll verify your records after the meeting. We'll be glad to work check your records with both of you to let you know if you're in or not.
If it was 1998, for example, you're still prior to that date.
Mm-hmm. So if you had I've had one since then.
You the man.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Not a problem, buddy, at all.
Would other people that had licenses, like say they have a Class A license, will they be able to sell that? Or, I mean, how will that work? Can they sell, you know, one net or two net? Or?
The provision, the regulation provision includes ability for transfers between residents, and for the Class A resident can go to another Virginia resident. The Class A non-resident can be transferred to another non-resident. The only thing that can't happen is you can't go between the two, resident to non-resident and vice versa. But there is a transfer provision that will be in place with the proper forms and everything need to be filled out and approved once in the commission.
Thank you.
All
right. Yep. Any other comments, questions? Where were we? Is there any other motion? Close the public hearing. Yeah. Okay. I'll be all right. Public hearing is now closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden.
I think one thing we did talk about and we needed to. And to the Gillnet, I guess, task force for limited entry task force, for lack of another name. I don't think we should have stacking. You know, we went Class A, and you can't have two sets on the boat. I think we should do the exact same thing with Class B. I think that was just an oversight on our part because we really never discussed it. But I think that was the intent of the people that was on were on it. So I don't know how that may be considered more restrictive, and we might have to re-advertise for that, but I think it's something that we definitely need to do.
You want to basically restrict the Class B that no more than two per vessel of a Class B, or one if there's a Class A?
Which makes them a Class A, and that wasn't, you know, our intent as a group. We wanted to have Class A and Class B. And Class B, the intent was not to lock any people who want to get into the fishery act, but in all fairness, just like striped bass stuff, they have the ability to buy their way in, or, you know, the commission itself doesn't, we transfer, it had nothing to do with purchases. So to us, if you pay 10 cents or $10 million, it's completely inverted. We did. So, I mean, I think we all limit to one Class A or one Class B. I don't think it should be.
Per vessel. Okay.
FMAC for discussion there, or do you want it advertised for a public hearing?
I don't know. We have to. We may have to because it's more restrictive than what we advertised for.
Well, we can't vote on it today because it is more restrictive, I do believe. Is that correct? Yeah, I would not feel comfortable. My question, I guess, would be, based on what you would like to do you want to send it back to FMAC for study, or do you want to advertise that provision for public hearing for next month?
I think we need to advertise it for next month, but we'll have an FMAC meeting.
And you want to discuss it there?
We'll discuss it right. And come up with a recommendation. But I feel like the people that were involved, we just thought that's the way it was.
In order, what we should do basically is vote on, if you agree to vote on a measure today.
I agree to vote on the one that advertised and submitted by. I'll move so.
Sure. I'll say.
In other words, motion made by Mr. Bowden to accept staff recommendation, second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion on that motion. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Mr. Bowden, your motion would be to advertise for public hearing. I don't put words in your mouth. Please go ahead.
That we would be limited to one Class A on a boat or one Class B, and no combination thereof.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second
by Mr. Schick to go to public hearing on that matter. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all.
Thank you.